I'm thankful for the assurance that we have in Him. I'm thankful to know that He paid everything that we might have eternal life. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. If He's invested this much in us, the Lord is surely able to keep what we've committed unto Him. The Lord, I believe, knows. The scripture says, was a little bit of an aside as we begin, but I was challenged and encouraged in the last week or two with a scripture that talks about the Spirit and how the Spirit makes intercession for us. The Spirit knows what is the mind of God, and He knows the groanings of our heart, and He's able to make intercession according to the will of God. I'm thankful that it is the Lord's desire. Thank you. That we might be able to make heaven, and the Lord knows, I am persuaded, just what we need. If our hearts are open and honest and hungering and thirsting for Him and for His Word, I believe that the Lord will be faithful to us. I'd like to begin with a familiar passage in the book of Psalms. Psalms, the 90th chapter. Beginning in the 9th verse, Psalms 90, verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. It can seem like so long sometimes whenever we're in life, whenever we're in our youth, or whenever. How long does it seem sometimes whenever you're having to wait? You ever notice how the time just seems to drag by sometimes? You're having to wait for something, or maybe you're looking forward to something, anticipating an event or something that's in the future, and it can seem like when I'm having to wait for it, or maybe I'm in a trial and I'm seeking the Lord for deliverance, for relief, and it seems like it can drag on so long. Those night hours sometimes can seem like there's no end to them. It can seem like the minute hand just crawls by sometimes, but yet whenever sometimes we get a little different perspective, as David did here. He says, as he's looking back and kind of stepping back as I see it here and looking from a different perspective, really it goes by so quickly. We spend all of our years as a tale that's told. Scriptures talk about man that's like the grass, it appears for a little time, and another place, I believe, it refers to it like a vapor. Our lives are but a vapor, James, I believe, said. There for just a little while, and then it vanishes away. Yet man appears to seem and feel so strong, so invincible, as if death will never come. But David said here that we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Burden that I have this morning is to consider the tale of three kings. The scripture here talks about our lives that are spent as a tale. We, I believe, are writing the story, the tale of our lives every day by the decisions that we make. And the Lord, I believe, desires for us in our lives that we be able to apply our hearts unto wisdom. That we be able to look at those that have gone before us. Be able to look at the decisions that they made, at the consequences of those decisions, as the scripture says, of the things that are written aforetime, therefore our learning. That we might be able, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, have hope. That I might be able to look back on those who put their faith in God, their confidence in Him, and to be able to see how the Lord was able to move mountains, so to speak, through them. Was able to divide kingdoms. Was able to conquer the enemy through those that put their faith in Him. But as we realize and understand, the scriptures are not just a compilation of stories of those who are successes, but of those who are failures as well. I'd like for us to look Beginning in 2 Chronicles, the 24th chapter. Consider the lives or the tale of three kings. 2 Chronicles 24. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zebiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Isn't it something how someone's life can be summed up in such a short phrase, such a few words? We see it on the tombstone. You see the date of birth and the date of one's death, and everything in between is just represented by the dash that's in between. There's so much that goes into a person's life, the way that they're raised, their upbringing, the example that they've seen of those that brought them up, of their parents, of the decisions that they make throughout their lives, that go so much that goes into making a man or a woman what they are. The scriptures, as we read through the chronicles of so many different kings of Judah and Israel, is summed up many of their lives by they did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, or they did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. You know, whenever it comes down to it, our lives will be able to be summed up in pretty much the same way. Of all the decisions that we make in life and the things that we go through, what really matters in life is what the Lord's conclusion is of the tale that I've told. So it says, Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada, as you read about him and the things that he did, if you back up the story a little bit, there was a time among the people of rebellion, as was so often the case, of forsaking the ways of the Lord. And there was a woman by the name of Athaliah. She overthrew the temple and the things of God and set about to set up idol worship and the things that were so contrary to what the house of God was to be. And she was in a place there of authority and of power. But Jehoiada, if you read through his life, was a man that was faithful unto God. He was a man that had the fear of God upon his heart. Whenever he saw these things that were taking place, it troubled him. It distressed him, and so it should to the man or the woman of God. Now we see the things that are about us. Do you remember what the scripture says of Lot? Just Lot, and much could be said about the decisions that Lot made, of pitching his tent towards Sodom and all of those things, but the Lord was merciful unto Lot. He had to pay a price. There was a consequence that he had to pay with his children, with his wife. But it says that Lot, his righteous soul was vexed daily with the wickedness that was all around him. There's a danger for us in the wickedness that's all around us, that those things that are so wicked get to a place that they don't appear as wicked to me. That I become desensitized to the things that are around us. That I become conditioned to the things that are around us. You're reading Ezekiel, whenever he went through and he saw it, and the angel was going through the city to punish those who had forsaken God. You know where they started? They started with the old men who were sitting there and allowing these things to take place. Those who didn't cry out in judgment against it. Folks, we have a responsibility in our day and in our time to stand in the gap for righteousness and the fear of the Lord. And that's what Jehoiada did. Jehoiada, if you read in the 23rd chapter, we won't go through it all for time, but he organized a revolt against this woman who was rising up in the place of God and overthrowing that which was righteous and holy. He set up a revolt to overthrow her, and you can read about it whenever they came in, and she began to cry treason, treason, and realized what was being taken from her grasp. But she was overthrown. And yet, The temple and the things of God were in disarray. And so we pick up now with the story of Joash. Joash is really a child whenever he ascended to the throne. And he was under the tutelage of this man Jehoiada, the priest, that had the fear of God and that had seen to it that this woman, Athaliah, was overthrown. It says in verse 4, "And it came to pass after this, that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, Go out into the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you hasten the matter. Howbeit, the Levites hastened not. And the king called for Jehoiada the priest, or the chief, and said unto him, Why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel, for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. Those things that were consecrated unto the Lord and that were set apart as holy for the Lord's service, they took that was consecrated to the Lord, and instead they went and offered it unto Balaam." What a deplorable state. What a desolation to fall upon the land. But that's the way that it is with wickedness. They take that which is good and they call it evil. And that which is evil and they call it good. Joash was in a place as a young man, as a child, that his heart was inclined to the things of God. That his desire, whenever he saw the house of the Lord in disrepair, "I want to fix this. I want to see to it that this was repaired." That's noble, isn't it? A noble desire whenever, think of the place that the prophet was sent unto Israel. Whenever he said, "You are Haggai," I believe it was, he said, you dwell in your own sealed houses, but the house of the Lord is laid waste. Why are you doing this? Why are you not focused on the repair of the house of the Lord? Oh, may the Lord help us that our first and foremost focus in our lives would be the house of the Lord. We are the temple of the living God today. And those places and those times where maybe I would recognize the enemy has begun to plunder here. The enemy has started to take advantage here. The walls are starting to crumble. Do you know the house of the Lord requires maintenance? The house of the Lord requires some repairs from time to time. If I just allow it by the course of nature, ever since sin took hold, the course of nature is to tend to disarray. You take something, you build a nice home, and over the course of years, if you do nothing to preserve it, it'll begin to rot. It'll begin to decay. The shutters will begin to fall and cracks will begin to develop. There's got to be some repairs from time to time. And that's what Joash's desire was here. His heart was right before the Lord. "I want to repair the house of the Lord." Joash, the king, started out strong. Well, let's continue to read. They did indeed finally complete the work. Set the house of the Lord in order. Let's pick up now in the 15th verse. "But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king." You know, the work of God is never to die with a generation. The work of God is to be that continues and carries on from generation to generation. So whenever the Lord took Elijah by a whirlwind, there was another prophet that he had already called that was following after, that was standing there, that captured the mantle and that picked it up, that went in the same power of Elijah and that went to the the bank of the river and it smote the water and it parted just like it had for Elijah. The Lord has a way of carrying His work forward, and I pray that it'll still be the case. I know I'm a younger generation, and it's my heart's desire, Lord. I want to pick up the mantle. I want to pick this thing up. I want to carry it forward. I don't want to see this thing destroyed in my generation. And folks, it can happen. How many times have we seen those that have forsaken the ways of the Lord in one generation? You look at their children and you say, how do they get to this point? How do they have no understanding of godliness and righteousness? And they become just a product of society around them. And then that generation, what do they have to teach their children that are coming on? Folks, there's a responsibility that falls to us, that we carry the mantle forward. Whenever Jehoiada, a man of God, that the Lord blessed richly throughout his years and used him to rebuild the temple and the worship of the Lord, to restore it from what it was. Oh, I think of the song that says there's a mighty reformation sweeping o'er the land. Yes. Folks, there's been some restoration that's been done by those that have gone before us. But you know, it becomes incumbent then to me to carry that forward. Yes. I'd like to read, continue then with what happened here. Jehoiada, whenever it came time for him to pass off the scene, it says that the princes of Judah made obeisance to the king. Now that Jehoiada is off the scene, let us go and try the king now. The princes, don't read a whole lot about him from the time of Athaliah. Since that time, it would appear that the house of the Lord was rebuilt and that his worship was restored. But it quickly becomes apparent that there were those that weren't dedicated to the cause of God. There were those that, as soon as Jehoiada was off the scene, they saw this as their opportunity. It's time to move in now. It's time now, and they went and made obeisance to the king. They went and began to worship or began to implore him, began to try to seduce him from the place that the Lord had had him, from the place that he started out with the Lord. They, it becomes apparent here, were looking for more liberty in how they worshiped, more liberty to be able to tolerate the things that were around them, to tolerate the worship of idols and the gods that were around them. And so they came and presented their cause and their case to the king, never in a way as is the way of the enemy. Never in a way to say, we're here to overthrow the worship of God. We're here to destroy Judah. But to come and make obeisance. To come and appeal unto you. And the enemy will come along to us in our generation and try to make an appeal unto us, unto our reason and unto the desires of our heart, saying, let's consider a different way. Let's consider allowing something. Let's consider being more tolerant, as the world would call it today. Jehoiada, the old man of God, well, maybe he had his ways. You know, maybe he's kind of stuck in his old ways. But let us now consider a new way. And it says, the king hearkened unto them. Oh, Joash, didn't you have it settled? Were you doing the things that you did just because of Jehoiada? Just because he was there and you felt guilty or felt a responsibility? Thank the Lord for the Jehoiadas. Thank the Lord for those that are willing to stand firm and faithful and true to the cause of God. But I would that we each one have something established and settled, so that whenever the props are pulled out away from us, that I don't collapse, that I too am a pillar in the church of God, that whenever the old gray heads, if I can say it that way, begin to pass off the scene, that everything doesn't crumble to chaos and dust, because I've got something for myself. I've got that same vision. I picked up that same mantle to carry it forward. But it says, as the king hearkened unto them, they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem. for this, their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again to the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. The Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. I don't know how much time went by before this happened. Joash, what are you thinking? Joash, the very son of the one that you came up under, that you had a respect and an honor for, that you saw God's hand upon him, you saw God working through Jehoiada, and here you've come to a place that you've given heed unto the seducing spirits, as Paul says it, and doctrines of devils. You've allowed yourself to be moved off of what you once stood on. And what comes with that? Whenever we get into a place that we begin rejecting truth, as we begin to look at those who are still bearing truth, don't we see this borne out in our world over and over? Those that are still holding to truth, we begin to point fingers at them. We begin to take out an indignation against them. How dare you? What happened to John the Baptist? How dare you defy the king? How dare you say that I can't have the wife that I want, or unto the wife that I can't have the husband that I want? And his head was taken off. Are we willing to stand firm and faithful in our generation? Joash, the king of Judah, who started out with a heart to rebuild the temple, to restore the things that were lost, allowed something throughout the course of time, allowed his heart to be moved off by the influence and by the counsel of others, into a place that now the man of God, who would stand in the stead of Jehoiada, that would warn them of the truth, now he's looking at him and ready to throw stones at him. Oh, may the Lord help us that we have a love for the truth. The scripture says that in these times, in the last days, that there would be many that have itching ears, and they're going to heap unto themselves teachers to give them what they want to hear, what I want to hear, to surround myself with counselors that'll make me feel good about who I am and about my way. If you'll remember Ahab, whenever Ahab and Jehoshaphat were considering, do we go up against Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat asked, is there a man of God that we can ask of? Let's ask of the mind of the Lord. And they went and found one that was in defiance of the 400 prophets that gave what the king wanted, Micaiah. And he told the truth. Ahab said, I hate him. Why? You hate him because he told you the truth? What is it that's going to save your soul? What is it that's going to preserve your kingdom but the truth? So Ahab lost his life. And so Joash, the king that started so strong, found himself against the favor of the Lord. It says the Lord delivered a very great host into the hand of the Syrians of Judah, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. Joash, we read about him being diseased. Read about conspiracy against him, this being the end of Joash's story. Joash, you told a tale. It started out strong. Let's move down a little bit in time. Verse 25, Amaziah was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 20 and 9 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. This was Joash's son. Whenever Joash is now out of the way and his son rises up to reign in his stead, it says that he too did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. And whenever we see that phrase, not with a perfect heart, many times it's indicating to, they started out well, but they ended differently. Somewhere along the way, they lost out. They lost their focus and their vision. We read in the parallel account of this in 2 Kings 14. Just pick this up quickly. 2 Kings 14 and verse 3, speaking also of Amaziah, says, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all things as Joash his father did. Howbeit the high places were not taken away. As yet the people did sacrifice and burn incense on the high places. He started out with the right desire, but like his father, Joash. We're seeing something that's handed down. Something that was like dad was a trait. Dad also found himself vulnerable and subject to these influences, and he lost favor with the Lord. And now it's time for his son to rise up in his place. And he started out also strong and with a desire to do that which was right with the Lord. But he wasn't perfect. He didn't go all the way. He stopped short along the way. I'd like to read a little bit of what Amaziah did. His desire was to rebuild the strength and the might of the military, to be able to go out and to conquer. And we read of success. And he was able to gain some victories. He was able to overthrow the Edomites. Those that conspired against his father was able to overthrow them. But let's read here now at the 14th verse, 2 Chronicles 25. Now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. The Lord that had just given him the Edomites into his hand, that had just delivered the victory into his hand. He saw what had happened with his father. He knew what had transpired and what had happened and how his father was defeated. And perhaps he was trying to exact vengeance upon those who had overthrown his father in his day. He went out and he pursued the Edomites. And the Lord gave him a victory. Oh, Amaziah, why'd you do that? Why'd you take the gods? Why'd you take the idols that they had and bring them back with you? Do you know it's easier for us, from our perspective, to look at someone like that and say, that's just ridiculous. Why would you do something like that? But you know, it's the way the deceptiveness of sin works. It's the way that the enemy will blind the minds of those who are persuaded of a different way, so that I can't see it. And others may look on and say, what are you doing? Why are you going that way? Why are you making that decision? Don't you see? Don't you realize? Don't you remember where you once were? But yet he didn't see it. And he brought the gods of the children of Seir back. It says the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah. And he sent unto him a prophet which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? What is it that even made the gods of the people attractive to you? You see what they did for them. They couldn't deliver the Edomites out of your hand. You were able to see that God didn't have any power. So what was it about those gods that attracted you? What was it about those gods that made you want to bring them back and pay honor to them yourself? Reminded of the scripture that says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it's going to pass away. It's not of God. You know, the warning to me, as I look at the tale of these three kings and one more to go, Lord, help me. Here are some people that started out strong, that started out with a desire to go all the way with God. I'm going to make some reforms here. We're going to overcome the enemy. We're going to overthrow what the enemy has done here. But yet, somewhere along the way, these two kings fell. This king began to take the idols of the world, the gods of the nation around them, and take them back unto himself. Lord, help us to keep our hearts with all diligence as we're going out and we're interacting with the world around us as the Lord has ordered that we should do, to interact and to function in the world about us, that we keep our hearts. You know, the instruction that Paul gave, little children, keep your hearts from idols. Keep your hearts. Folks, idolatry is every bit as much alive today as it ever has been. The idols of our world look different today. But may God help us to keep our hearts from idols. To keep our hearts and our desires from going out after the things of this world. Because it'll be unto us like it was unto this king, Amaziah, that had a heart for the Lord, but began to allow some things to creep in to his heart. And so the judgment of the Lord fell also on Amaziah. You know, it's happened over and over, hasn't it? Remember Solomon? The story of Solomon it's a shocking one. It's a sad one. Solomon, who sought the Lord with thousands of offerings, burnt offerings to the Lord. And the Lord came and said, what would you have? Oh, Lord, just give me wisdom. Lord, just give me wisdom that I might be able to rule your people. His heart, he had a heart that was perfect unto the Lord. But we read in 1 Kings 11, however, when Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart away from the Lord. Folks, if it happened to Solomon, if it happened to a man that was given so much wisdom, do we see this morning the need for a caution and a warning? Therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I want to challenge and warn us all today. The scripture says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Many have started out to go in this way. Are we determined to go all the way? Are we determined, Lord, I want to end this thing with victory in my soul? It's not just the way I started. It's not just the intention that I had starting out. But Lord, I've got to maintain and preserve this all the way down. I'm going to have to take heed of the influences of those around me. I'm going to have to take heed that I not be seduced away. As Paul said to the Corinthians, I fear lest that by any means, as Satan or the serpent beguiled Eve by his subtlety, so your hearts and minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, that we not be influenced, that we not be moved away from the solid founding of God's word in our lives, that I not be as Joash and over the course of time, or his son, Amaziah, that would allow the things of this world. It's what's said of Demas. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, a fellow worker in the gospel. Is it possible? Somebody that's tasted of the gift of God, somebody that's been enlightened, that's understood something of the oracles of God, that's gone so far as to be able to proclaim and to minister unto others, and yet get into a place that Demas, having loved this present world, has forsaken me. Somewhere along the line, tales that are being told. I'd like to look now, the 26th chapter. As the judgment of the Lord fell upon Amaziah, didn't read the end of it, just relate it to you. He also wouldn't hear counsel. He wouldn't accept the counsel, and he determined of himself, let's go up face to face against Israel. And he fell before Israel, as any man of God or someone with wisdom might have told him. You don't go bring the gods of this world and set your heart upon them and expect God to bless. We can't go through our lives holding on to the world and expect God's blessings and His favor and power in our lives. But yet, Amaziah did somehow. Somehow in his mind, thinking perhaps by the victories that he had already won in the past. I've done it before, perhaps. The children of Israel, as they went unto Ai. Remember, they felt confident. We won the victory at Jericho. We don't even need to send all the men up. This is an easy one for us. But they didn't realize there was something in the camp. There's something down inside. There's something buried under the earth in somebody's tent. The Lord can't bless over that. Amaziah fell at the hands of Israel. And Israel came and plundered the house of the Lord. The things that were so valuable, the things that had been rebuilt and restored to the house of God, Israel came and plundered those things again. So we move down now to the 26th chapter, the third king. Read of a man that, when I first hear this name, I believe what comes to my mind is Isaiah chapter 6, contemporary of Isaiah. The vision that Isaiah had in the year when King Uzziah died. That was the time when Isaiah saw the vision of the Lord high and lifted up. We read of this king. This is the son of Amaziah. This would be the grandson of Joash, passing down through the family. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. He built Eloth, restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabna and the wall of Ashdod and built cities against Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerboal and the Mahunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt. For he strengthened himself exceedingly. And we read on down where he began to fortify Jerusalem, began to build towers and strongholds, trying to restore the strength and the fortitude to the city. What a difference it makes, the blessing of the Lord. Whenever the Lord's blessing is upon my efforts and my life, and I'm in a place where my heart is pure before the Lord, and it says that he sought the Lord. And as long as he sought the Lord was blessing him. Do we see the pattern here? Whenever he's seeking after the Lord, whenever there's a man that realizes their dependence upon God, the Lord's blessing is there as he seeks him. But as soon as they begin to forget about the Lord can turn and be our enemy, just as he is our friend. But the Lord helped Uzziah, strengthened him, so that his name went abroad throughout the land. Different nations fell before him, the Philistines and the Ammonites even gave a duty unto him, or paid a tax and were subject unto him. He built the towers, strengthened and fortified the fighting host. Uzziah, verse 14, prepared them throughout all the host, shields and spears and helmets, and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. You know, the Lord wants to marvelously help us. And what a difference it makes. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it. If the Lord be for us, what's the rest of it? Who can be against us? If the Lord be on our side, if the Lord is fighting for us, Folks, what are we without the Lord? What are we without the Lord to take our part individually in my life, in my battles, in the places that I face the enemy of my soul? What am I going to have to fight the enemy with without the Lord, without the grace of God, without His power in my soul? And collectively as a people today, what do we have without the blessing of the Lord and without His presence in our midst? As long as Uzziah sought the Lord. And it says he did do that in the days of Zechariah. Zechariah, another man of God, who had the fear of God, as we read of Jehoiada. And during the days that Zechariah was alive in Uzziah's life, we see a parallel to me throughout father, son, and grandson. In so many ways here, as grandfather had Jehoiada to guide and to influence and to help keep him in the right way, so Zechariah helped guide Uzziah here. But the time came whenever Zechariah also passed off the scene. And we read things begin to change for Uzziah. The one whose name had spread far abroad, the one who was marvelously helped. It says in verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. We read also of Uzziah that he too left the high places. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. Thank the Lord for valiant men. Thank the Lord for those who are willing to stand for the truth. For those who are willing in our time and in our generation, and may God help each of us to be that as well. They came and withstood Uzziah. Uzziah, this doesn't pertain to you. I heard Brother Larry bring out not long ago about presumptuous sins. Uzziah was presumptuous here. He took unto him that didn't pertain unto him. He began to get lifted up in his own mind, and perhaps in other religions and other nations, it pertained unto the king, religious matters and the civil matters. Well, I'm king, I'm marvelously helped, my name has gone abroad. It said that he was lifted up, and he felt that it was befitting unto him to go and do that the Lord had ordered for the Levites or the priests to partake of. But as happened with his fathers that went before, when the men of God withstood him, whenever they reproved and rebuked him, isn't that what the word of the Lord is for? It's inspired by God, and it is profitable for reproof, for rebuke, for instruction in righteousness. May God help each of us that I never get to a place that I can't accept reproof, that I can't accept the rebuke or reproof that comes from God's word and His Spirit, the Lord in His faithfulness. As he came and tried to deal with Uzziah here, tried to deal with his fathers before, but there was something already down in his heart. Uzziah was already lifted up. And he was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And as he was wroth, he said leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest. You know, there were instances when that happened. There was, read in 1 Kings 13, I believe, about a man of God, prophet of God, that went down into the king, and the king was doing something similar here, and he reproved him. The king was wroth and reached out to smite him, and the Lord caused his hand to wither. And the Lord, in his wisdom, in his sovereignty, saw fit to restore the man's arm. Not so with King Uzziah. This was the end of King Uzziah's tale that he told, that he wrote. The blessing of the Lord that was once so strong upon him, now evaporated and gone. The Lord sent leprosy upon him. The shame of leprosy clung to him throughout the remainder of his days, having to be in isolation and shame until the day of his death. The tale of three kings. May it not be the tale of our lives. But I want to challenge us that we take instruction from these men. Every one of them started out doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Oh, folks, the doctrine is so damnable today. Once saved, always saved. baptized as a child and you're secure all the way on out, the scripture teaches over and over and through lives and stories that are lived out like this, the Lord will be for us as long as we be for the Lord, as long as we follow after the Lord. So, you know, I can look at it and I've had the devil come to me and say, how do you think you're going to keep it then? You're not going to be able to stay. Look at those that have fallen around you, and it can become discouraging sometimes if we let our eyes be fixed on those around us or on the world or those that have failed. Do you know the secret is not any magic trick? It's not any right combination. I do something just right, or I pray just the right words, and now life is easy the rest of the way out, and I don't have to battle my way through it. The secret is the secret Uzziah forgot. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That's the secret for our lives. Really not very secret, is it? But as long as I'll seek the Lord, as long as I'll stay in the place, and I want us to remember, by the Lord's help, the lessons that the tale of these three kings tell us, that I not be moved away from the simplicity of the gospel. It's solid. It's safe. That I not allow anybody, any voice, any whispering of the enemy to move me away from the simplicity of the gospel, but that I stand upon that. Secondly, that I guard my heart from the idols of the world, from my heart going out after the things of the world that will cause a snare and a trap, no matter how long I've known the Lord, no matter how long I've served the Lord, no matter how mightily I've seen the Lord work. Folks, it tells me, these tales instruct and tell me that I'm not above what the fate that these men experienced. I'm not above it. I'm no greater. I'm no wiser than Solomon was by any means. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I want to make it all the way through. I don't want to be a byword. I don't want people to come by and wag their head and say, oh, what happened? What happened? He used to love the Lord. He used to serve the Lord. He used to preach the gospel. What really matters, as Jesus said, warning of the times that would come, said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Believe it was to Smyrna that the letter was written. It said some of you would be persecuted, some of you thrown into prison. But he that is faithful unto death shall receive the crown. Folks, it's what we're called unto. It's important how we start out, but it's more important how we end up. And it's important how we live our lives throughout the whole thing. And the third that I didn't recap or summarize, that our hearts not be lifted up in pride and in complacence in the time that we're living in. Folks, the Lord has the grace. He has sent His Spirit to sustain us, to guide us, to give us power, to keep us in this evil world. Folks, we too can hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And how many times the story has also been told of those that have been faithful, of those that the Lord has come for that left. Just read through Hebrews chapter 11. Those that have been faithful unto the end. And we also can. But may we guard our hearts and our lives that we would be faithful unto death. You pray for me.